Who's the real captain?
Live. We're live. Who is the real captain, man? We're talking about the new Star Trek versus the old. This is shit grown men do in their spare time. Tate, what's motherfucking Fletcher. Is that Echo in New Mexico?
Yes, my Nuevo shirt.
Ah, Nuevo Cerveza. You know, that New Mexico might be the only shape of a state that sort of makes sense. It's fucking square. Basically square. It's like square, but like it looks like on the bottom, some dudes just had some miscommunication. Like, fucking dude, you're supposed to be over here.
That's Mexico had the miscommunication.
Oh, the line.
They just want that good part.
Mexico wanted, like, there must have been, like, a cool elk hunting spot.
Probably.
And New Mexico's whoever like, yo, we need...
Like, we gotta have a sorry about
we
it.
We need this little area, this little block off in that corner. You know, New Mexico's like one of the premier elk hunting spots in the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different. Like when I was a kid in Michigan, we would hunt and maybe, but I don't know, when I was like 12 or something, stuff changed and because elk used to be not hunted and then they opened up a season on them. So fucking elk, you could like walk up to a herd of 100 deep. And there would be, I would remember there'd be sentries. They would post like young bull elks all around the perimeter. And
really?
It was fucking wild, dude. They were almost tame. And then the year after they opened up permits, as skittish as white-tailed deer.
Wow.
It's really crazy. One of the best hunting experiences I had there, I was in like a pit blind with a bow and there were a bunch of doe at a feed pile. And then I was in this big rye field. And I hear like come through the woods and then another and these elk met two bulls and they started smashing horns and I was fucking blown away. The deer didn't give a shit. They're like just eating whatever, not even our species, we're good. And it was awesome, man. It was I love growing up. The woods are rad, man. It's so cool that you got into hunting, like that, and you're deep in it. Like,
oh, I'm too deep.
There's nothing better.
I'm
than
obsessed.
That.
But it's the elk thing is so strange. The noises they make. Like when we were hunting in Colorado, when the females see you, they bark.
It's awesome.
Like they different let everybody too. Know. They
it's
let
like,
everybody know.
It's so open. There's all that huge tracking. Like you got to be an athlete. New Mexico and Colorado. It's a different kind of hunt.
Well, Colorado, where we were, was in the mountains. So it was all trees and stuff, and it was all about hiding behind trees and bringing them to you
and being on a run or something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, trying to be near where they are. And since it's the rut, you're trying to make noises. You know, like cow calls, or you're trying to bring them in, or you're trying to sneak up
on
them.
You put doe piss all over you. And you're like, yeah. Is that the new shit? Okay.
I was listening to this podcast. It's a TED Talk podcast. And I don't know if you've ever seen that video, but there's a video that got around about when they reintroduced wolves to Yellowstone Park.
Yep.
But you can't hunt in Yellowstone Park. So the animals in Yellowstone Park are the same way that you were talking about those elk.
Yep.
Elk are the same way. Like they somehow or another know that people are not going to hunt them.
That's the weird thing about it and how it changed. Like in one season, I'm like, how are they all symbiotic in this way where they all communicate? Because none of them had been hunted.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden all the fucking elk knew though.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I mean, you know what it's like, I think? You know how, is there something wrong? You know what it's like? You know how you see birds when they fly and those
right.
big...
Or schools of fish.
Yeah, schools of fish. When
and they all
they
turn
do
on
that,
a dime.
The flocks just know where everybody's going.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. There's some sort of strange communication.
There's a telepathy, I think. And I think that... You read that book, The Rise of Superman?
No, I haven't. Heard it's awesome, though.
Awesome. And they talk about... I think the movie was Transformers, that all these dudes in wingsuits went off the, was it the Sears Tower in Chicago?
Yeah.
And making almost 90-degree banks and stuff. And
they're
and there are four of them, and they're following each other. And if one guy goes, after I see you move, I'm too late.
Right.
I have to move as you're moving, or else I ruin the airflow and all that, and then I hit the building.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And so these guys practice in the Alps, but they talked about that you need to be in that flow state and that you start to work with each other in a way that is supernatural.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I felt that flow state as a singular person in different events in my life. But like that kind of thing where they're working in tandem with each other and they're all talking to each other. And I think like that's the way that fish move, or that's the way like, you know, what is it that gives a frog the sense to jump off the lily pad right as the hawk is diving before the hawk's moved or whatever? Like what, like all those fish, it's not like one turns and then the rest follow. They all move uniformly.
Yeah, the schools of fish and the flocks of birds are so magical when you watch them like dance in the sky. Those giant flocks of birds, like how are they not just slamming heads?
Yeah,
how what is going on there?
Really, so, and then the hawks, the birds of prey, are so different than that.
Yeah,
like they're, you know,
no flocks of
that,
them.
That meat is a different kind of thing. It does something to people or animals.
Yeah, those seed eating birds are the ones that can kind of do that.
They're like, we really need each other. The ones that are meat eaters are like, I'm good.
This same TED talk, this guy was talking about how humans, it was a different guy, it was the same podcast though, was talking about how humans interrupt the natural symphony of nature. And that this symphony, there's a frequency that all these different animals operate at. There's like a frog has a niche in this frequency, and a bird has a niche in this frequency. And they were talking about how when frogs, when you have like a whole like swamp filled with frogs,
it scares off predators.
Well, it makes it impossible to locate them because there's so much sound coming from so many different places. You can't find them, but they have these low-flying jets in this area because this is a place where they practice, where pilots practice, fighter pilots.
Right.
And so they fly these jets like 600 meters above the ground, which is pretty low. And they're fucking supersonic speeds. They're fucking just going crazy over this swamp. And the disruption of sound is so intense that everything stops for a while. And then slowly these frogs start to resynchronize. So like one will rid it, and then they'll try to find each other and get into that rhythm again. But when that happens, when they're trying to find that rhythm, that's when all the hawks, all the owls, and all the coyotes know exactly when to move in. So they move in then, and they start picking apart all these frogs. They find the frogs and they eat them. It's really interesting. Like, they know that there's like a disruption in the frequency.
And I wonder how so are those predation animals working on a different frequency than the frogs then? Or like they're opportunists in this way where they're like, this is a time, you know?
Yeah, there must be opportunists. I think the whole idea of the way he was describing it, the way the frogs do it, where, you know, how like you're in the swamp or something like that and you hear frogs. You don't know where the fuck they are. There's so many of them. You hear
sometimes what it is. Like, they sound fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's so many of them. And so when they have to kind of find each other, and because their sound is so intense, when the jet flies over, everybody stops what they're doing. And so they're like, are we doing this? Let's do it. And
how long does it take them to recalibrate?
It wasn't long. It was only a few minutes. It was like, I think, I want to say 15 minutes, but I might be mistaken. But it was less than an hour. And in that time, these, you know, they're trying to get their shit back together again, and they just get jacked.
That's the thing about us humans, like, being the disruption, is that even at, like, what we think of our I read something somewhere, I heard a podcast where they're like, there's a kid or somebody that developed a bacteria or some kind of biome that will eat plastic. And maybe take care of the big island of plastic that's in the oceans or whatever, right? And I started thinking about that. I'm like, we're fucking idiots. Like, we created plastic. Like, that was our solution then, too. You know what I mean? It's like, we put nuclear reactors on the biggest fault line in the world where it's the most active. Like, that's how smart we are. And, like, what do you do when you create a bacteria or something that will eat what happens when all the plastic's gone? Like, is that like, you know, is that like the introducing, oh, we've got a rabbit problem in Australia. Let's get a fox. And then we got a fox problem. You know, it's like, fuck,
that's,
man.
Australia. Australia's crazy.
Yeah.
My buddy Adam lives
there. We don't
learn
from anything.
No.
We're the most adaptable creature. And we're like, let's go ahead and get some, we got a desert. Get the golf courses out here. Let's go ahead and do that.
Well, that was what was interesting about this TED podcast, is the same guy who was talking about the wolves, who's done that video about the wolves in Yellowstone.
Right.
It's really interesting because he's got an English accent and he's very enthusiastic about the wolves in Yellowstone and amazing things have happened. This guy's crazy, though, because he didn't just want to bring wolves back to Yellowstone. Now he's talking about bringing megafauna to England. See, they did these studies where they dug deep into the ground and they found fossilized remains from, you know, 10,000 plus years ago of lions. And elephants, this crazy fucker is talking about reintroducing lions to England.
We need that.
But was was England for was sure. Interesting about this cat is that he admitted that this all this fascination with wolves and everything came out of a midlife crisis. He's like, he went into a midlife crisis, and then his solution was
a little bit of a pussy, and now my spirit animal is a wolf.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this dude got like really super into wolves.
Fuck.
And super into the idea of what he calls rewilding. But the thing is, like, he was talking about how megafauna used to live in England and that human predation and all that stuff wiped them out. But that hasn't been proven. They don't know that for a fact. And it is entirely possible that the climate was just not the best climate for them, and then also natural disasters. And then also the absolute fact that 90%+ of everything that has ever lived ever is extinct.
Right.
So this guy's idea of reintroducing...
Don't want to kill nothing. Don't want to let nothing die. We are the ultimate pussy, arrogant fuckers that are building golf courses in deserts. It's crazy.
Well, the wolf thing is so fascinating.
Well, then, okay, so there's both sides of that.
Yeah.
I've heard both, like, it's awesome that we have wolves again there, and then I've heard people are like, this is really the decimation of an environment. Like, this changed the environment and the topographical makeup of Yellowstone so much that we're retarding growth in a lot of ways. Anytime you reintroduce something, there's an alteration, but like, is it for the good or the bad? Like,
well, it's good for some species. It's really good for some birds. It's really good for a lot of different kinds of plants and trees. It's really good for trees because Yellowstone had such a huge population of deer and elk and bison and all these different animals. They were just eating the shit out of all the grass, and the trees got thicker and they grew taller. Like within 6 years, they grew much, much taller. It's part of the TED talk this guy gave. And the root system got stronger. Because the root system got stronger, the path of the rivers
changed,
and it was
it's crazy. Nature's
it's really
crazy.
Really intense. So it is good for some animal. It's
not good for the elk and for the deer,
but.
But did they take those anyway? Would rangers go out and be like, we need to take 50 deer out this year? Or, like, there's no hunting?
I don't think there's any hunting, but they do in certain circumstances. In places where there's no hunting, they will bring in people to kill the population if it gets too
and
high.
And pick what...
Yeah, but the solution to that is allow hunters to go into Yellowstone. But the problem with that, of course, is that Yellowstone's a national park and people are out there hiking and shit.
Right.
You don't want yahoos out there
That's
shooting guns.
That's why I think
you'd
just have rangers and you'd be like, this section is closed, and make sure there's no campers, go through it, all that. And
it's hard, though. I mean,
pick
you think
animal.
About how many animals an animal can give birth to, and if there's no wolves, like, and you it's hard, like, that's the other thing about hunting. One of the things you realize is how much woods there really are, how deep the
fuck.
Everyone's talking about the human beings have absolutely taken over big parts of this country,
right?
Southern California, I mean, you go around the Los Angeles area, like, the wildlife that used to be here has all been pushed out. But there's still areas that are insanely wild, and Yellowstone is one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of wilderness out
there.
When
I fly from here to New Mexico, it's like, fly over New Mexico and tell me, like, there's just no land anymore. It's like, there's fucking no people living anywhere in most of that state. Like, it's just that it's not something happening. And there's a fucking mountain lion that stalked and hunted one of my friends. In Hollywood, in the Hollywood Hills. She was at a party for like 4th of July or something. Parked her car in a little cul-de-sac house that people are gone on vacation, some really rich folks up in the hills. She walks down, and she and two friends, and fucking, and there's a fucking mountain lion that's there. That they're in a cul-de-sac. The mountain lion's here, and there's nowhere to go. There's a fence into the fucking crazy story. So anyway, she ends up yelling at it, scaring at it, jumping on top of this Audi or some car that was there, that was parked there, screaming at it, and then that stopped it from advancing. But still, I was like, what sounds did it make? And she's like, oh, it was like a beast from a movie. It was crazy, just talking to her. And
but you would think that if that was the case, it might have been cornered.
And but it wasn't. It was cornering them.
Yeah, but why would it corner them and just growl at them?
I don't know.
A big cat would be stealthy.
No idea. But made itself known. She jumped the fence, tried to break the windows of the house.
Whoa.
Got a 911 call out. It was sketchy service. Thanks a lot, AT&T. And So I switched to Verizon. AT&T, they're just not reliable.
Mountain lions hunting friends.
They're like, when I went to switch it to, they go, well, were you using your phone in a high traffic zone? Like, I'm like, a high traffic zone? I'm like, are you just telling me you oversold your system and that, like, I can only call at certain times? Because you charge me every minute of the fucking day. Anyway, I digress. And then the phone call dropped. It was awesome. I was in the Verizon store. I was like, this is
the phone call dropped
to the AT&T guy.
While you were in the Verizon store? That's adorable.
And the AT&T guy goes, no, my battery went dead. I'm like, motherfucker, you're a tech geek. Like, you know your shit is bunk. You know on the street, your friends laugh. They're like, oh, you sling that AT&T shit. Like, you know that's like, fuck off. Come on. Just tell me it's funny. You know it's funny. He's like, no, I don't understand what you mean, sir. I'm like, I can't even talk to
you. That's baby powder cut cocaine,
yeah,
son.
Come on. Stop all that. Stop all that shit. Anyway, the line was tagged.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's why she didn't get charged with like an attempted breaking and entering and all this shit from the security cameras on the people's house.
Because they knew where the line was.
Because they're like, yeah, the lion fucking was down. And I'm like, so you got tagged lions that are in high density population, but like right in downtown Hollywood.
Yeah,
like,
we're super, awesome. Super arrogant about mountain lions.
Oh,
in California,
man.
You can't hunt mountain lions. They're not hunted.
Right.
So because of that, their populations have skyrocketed. In this place that I'm going to, the Tejon Ranch, there's one water hole that they have where they took pictures of 16 different mountain lions. I mean, they have a massive population of animals up there because it's 270,000 acres.
Whose ranch is it?
It's privately owned.
Uh-huh.
Privately owned giant ranch, and it's just huge. And there's nothing going on up there other than hunting and some, you know, I think they have a water pipeline goes through it and a bunch of other ways they make money
right.
off the ranch. But it's not like there's a lot of people there.
Right.
It's very, very few people go in and out of the ranch. So these fucking cats are the run of the land. And there's elk up there and there's deer up there and there's a lot of pigs up there and they just party.
I want to put GoPros on them all. Like, can you imagine, like a fucking stalk, like be badass.
Why do I think someone did something like that recently? They put a GoPro on something.
Those park rangers, they're not fulfilling their fucking need. If they're not dart those things, put GoPros on them and let's watch.
Well, how long will the battery last though?
I don't know, man. They need to get Tesla in there. Figure it out. Let's go, Elon. Do something for this world. You've got a battery that'll never fucking disintegrate and that we're going to keep around forever that's polluting the environment for sure, but you can't get that on a mountain lion? Come on. Use it for my entertainment, at least. Serious.
I think that there's going to be, in the future, there's going to be batteries that just don't run out of juice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to look back 100 years from now, they're going to laugh at us. Like, piles Dude. Of batteries and landfills and
Hopefully
shit.
We get to the place where we can be laughed at.
Hopefully, if we make it, right?
I mean, that's the thing, is I think we get just smart enough. I mean, you say it all the time, just smart enough to where we can go ahead and have our own destruction.
Yeah.
Because of our progress, because we won't stop progress. It's like, it's that weird thing. It's like that thing I think Duncan was talking about, that Elon Musk put $10 million towards, like,
yeah,
this is going to guard us in the future against the rise of the machines type shit.
Well, yeah, he wanted to stop artificial intelligence. Well, he wants to protect us or at least analyze artificial intelligence.
That's the thing, is like any show me where progress got halted. It's like progress, it just spurts. It's like a weed.
You know,
you
my
can't
hope
stop
is,
us.
My hope about progress is they figure out a way to make no residue, like that. No
footprint.
Well, not like there's no waste. Like the idea of like right now we create pollution, right?
But
like,
we had that.
How did we have that?
Did you ever read that goddamn book about food? Anyway, and it surveyed three different meals, and one was like a fast food meal, another was like a all organic home cooked meal, another was a meal that like you made everything, like you made the flour, you harvested the yeast, you did all that kind of stuff, and it was the Omnivore's Dilemma was the name of it, and like farms used to be like that, like you'd have some sheep and some pigs and some chickens, and they would shit all over here. And you'd be growing wheat or corn or whatever over here. Then they'd move over here. And then you'd move your crops over here. And so you had a continual fertilization and self-utilized farm. And then we moved all the animals off the farm and put them in feedlots. And then now we just grow one crop over and over again. So we need to have...
Yeah, but even if they're doing that, you're still using farm equipment. The farm equipment had to be built somewhere.
Sure,
the construction materials, there's residue, there's waste, there's all sorts of pollution that comes out of the machines themselves. There's some people that are trying to figure out a way how to take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and utilize it, how to take waste, like what all the different waste products that people create with all the different things that we do, whether it's making computers or whether it's driving buses, or and figure out a way to turn that waste into something profitable or into something useful.
It'd have to be hella profitable.
Well, it'd have to be hella useful too, right? Like, that's the idea behind this, the plastic island in the ocean.
Right. How do you utilize that?
Yeah, it's not really an island. People get mad if you call it an island.
Because you can't build a house on it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't sell real estate
there. We can't live on that, so fuck you. It's not that. All right, I figured it made its own environment, though. Like, what do we call it?
It's a floating
cancer?
Shit.
Cancer?
Floating shit, like the size of Texas. They don't even know how big it is, really. It's like, that's disputed,
I like
too.
How all the plastic finds each other. Everybody wants community, even plastic. You know what I mean? I think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's like a love story. Plastic, a love story.
Plastic,
the
love.
It could be a new show
so
right
that should
there.
Be one of those little 15-minute shorts before you watch a kid's movie.
You know what, dude? That's what I need to do. Fuck all this other shit. I need to get a job with, like, Chevron or something, or the plastic companies, and I'll be the guy that goes out there. I remember when we were filming Two Guns, and I was, like, in Louisiana, and that fucking, they just fucked up the whole Gulf. It's like, way to go.
Oh, you were there when that happened?
It was right after that. So it was just
after.
Did you
smell it?
No, I didn't go down that. It wasn't like that right there. I wasn't on the shores, but like.
How far away were you?
We're in New Orleans.
Like, and how far away is that from the water?
I don't know.
Not that far, right?
The river runs out into it and all
so
that.
So you didn't smell anything crazy? Uh-huh.
But I mean, no more. I mean, New Orleans smells fucking weird. Anyway, there's a lot of new smells to me.
It smells like
it's
voodoo.
Like, I went to Bourbon Street and I was like, this is just like, and they got everybody at Walmart hammered and brought a party bus and dropped them off. And that's what Bourbon Street's like. It's a trip.
Bourbon
man.
Street's awesome.
It's fucking crazy.
I love it.
And then it feels like you walk back all through that quarter and you're like, it's all misty and shit. And you're like, this is like where Jack the Ripper lives. Like, it's fucking eerie as fuck back there. Like, and there's tranny hookers and fucking all kinds of darkness all through there. It's a trip.
There's
but
a lot
anyway,
of darkness.
BP is doing all this shit, and they're going, look at what we've done to help. And like, I could be one of those spin doctors for the plastic guys.
Look
at the
we've,
love
we've
and plastic.
Done to help. Is
it was awesome. I was like, I really believe these guys. These are great commercials.
Look what we've done to help. Even though we dumped millions of gallons
like
of oil.
Like Halliburton. They could be like, look at all these dead Iraqis. And they'd be like, look at what we've done to help. And then they could show them Baghdad like 5 years ago and Baghdad now. And it's a little different. It's like, it used to be like New York City. Now it's caves.
Well, what we're
maybe
trying to do is we start from scratch and then do it right this time. go back to the cave people and do it right. You know, that is one of the arguments that historians use. Like, it's in the beginning of Dan Carlin's Hardcore History series on the Mongols. Did you listen to that?
Uh-huh.
You know how he's talking about Hitler?
Yeah.
In the beginning of the thing, he was talking about how the way people talk about Genghis Khan today, they say that he opened up the trade routes with China and all the things. They try to put a positive spin on what he did. But the reason why they could do that is because it was 1,000 years ago.
Right.
But if they try to do that about Hitler, it's too soon. He's like, right. It's an interesting thing that people
funny,
do when it comes
is
to
a
history.
Funny hashtag.
Hashtag too soon.
Hitler. Hashtag too soon.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. Every revolution starts with a fight.
Yeah.
I learned that today on the UFC promo for Ronda and Holly.
You know, have you seen the thing that they've done? Well, yeah, actually, I can't talk about it. I don't think it's going to
be public yet.
I
cried when I saw it. It was so good. They're doing great fucking promo work for that, for Holly and Ronda's fight.
Oh, the one with
and
the
it shows them as little girls
oh,
coming up.
Oh, you did
up.
See that one.
And
did you cry?
Oh, dude. You know what brought it on is when Holly as a little girl is sitting in church and the people are looking at her.
Because she's got a black eye.
And it looks up and she's got a black eye and she kind of gives that smile. And I'm like, and what made me cry is like the pride of a black eye. Like that people don't have, you know, like there's not a lot of people that will know what that is. Like to be proud, like she worked for that black eye. You know what I mean? It's
well,
like,
people would look at a girl with a black eye and think that she got beat by her man.
Could be.
That's what a lot of people think.
I don't think that way. I don't see color, Joe.
That's not a color thing, dude. I think that's a male female. It's a gender
could
thing.
Could be. I'm just not that aggressive.
It is a funny
Why
thing.
Why you
man.
Laugh, Jamie?
It is a funny thing, man. If you train a lot and you have a black eye, it's kind of a badge of courage.
Hell yeah.
You know?
It's like cauliflower ear. Somebody asked me what the fuck was wrong with my ear. I'm like, what's wrong with yours, punk? It's a man shit, son.
One time I had a serious black eye. I actually had two black eyes, and I was on Fear Factor. And I was like, look, just let me do the show with black eyes. Who gives a shit?
Right.
They brought in, because I didn't wear makeup on Fear Factor, but during that I did. They brought in a makeup artist, a spray person. They
so
sprayed
crazy back
under
then,
my
though, how people don't want to be authentic. They're like, we can't have this be real. We need to have it look a certain way, the way we think of him to look. It's like, how about you just, I look like me. It's great. It's like all that shit about the camera puts on 10 pounds or whatever. Motherfucker, it makes you look exactly like you are. If you're not happy with that, don't be so fat. I've never understood
that camera puts so on 10 weird. Pounds thing. I look in the mirror. I look at myself on camera.
Right.
It's exactly the
Real
same.
Real similar.
It's the same. How does a camera put on 10 pounds? Where is that coming from?
So good.
Is that like the old cameras?
Maybe so.
Maybe like them old.
With some kind of flex lens.
Maybe.
Like a circus lens.
Maybe it was like before they had HD.
It's fucking funny, man.
You know, when I was on news radio.
I think it's just people are pussies and they'll make any excuse to not have it be real. Like, it's not true. My fault. I don't need to be accountable for that. It's
well,
the camera.
I'm in really good shape. Yeah. It's just this.
I watched what I ate one time
makes
in 82.
Me have a gut. When I was on news radio, it was right when they were introducing HD cameras. And I'll tell you, man, actresses were shitting their pants.
Really?
It was crazy. Yeah, they were they'd have conversations in the makeup room. Like, we're going to need a lot more of this once the HD cameras come.
Holy
but they were all
fuck.
Scared. Because you could have a girl that...
Those makeup people like to be scared anyway. They like to create a drama.
It wasn't the makeup people. It was the actresses.
It was the actresses.
Yeah. But they were...
Well, those are of sound mind.
Well,
they're all stable women.
Well, they knew that they looked better on TV than they did in real life.
You look at David Caruso and...
Oh, Jesus.
When
poor
in real life, it's like, holy fuck.
In real life, he looks like a zombie.
Dude, and 106.
Yeah, at least 106.
Yeah.
106 with like
some
a good
real,
diet.
Real Crypt Keeper shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he swings kettlebells.
Does he? No. That guy's like, is he a smoker? Is that what's
he
going on?
He looks like he must be. But he's also redheaded.
Those
you know,
redheads.
He's got that Bill Burr shit.
But Bill Burr looks great.
Looks really good.
He looks healthy as fuck.
He's got the funniest thing, too, about faceless. Like he's
does
like,
he?
He's like, I'd rather look like... He's like, he's like, I'd rather look like a 40-year-old guy than a 29-year-old lizard. He's like, it's clear they don't have that shit worked out. What are you doing pulling your face straight like that?
That is weird,
he's
man.
Awesome.
There's this lady at my daughter's gymnastics class who's got monster face. I call it monster face when those poor ladies, they do their lips
so
and
nuts.
Then they shoot rubber into their face to fucking fill it up. And then they pull that bitch back. And then she's monster face. Like, you look at her, you go, oh, Jesus.
Yep.
Like, you can't, like, but meanwhile, she's right next to a 70-year-old lady who looks fine. You know, you look at her, you go, hello, how you doing? Like, you don't get weirded out at all. You're just looking at an older woman.
That ageism is a weird thing. And the self-talk that happens around it that people do is like, it's a fucking trip. Like, what people run from in that way.
It is. Well, it just feels like...
But then they don't do the shit that would really do it. It's like, don't you want to move well all the time? Don't you want to fucking, like, be able-bodied and all... No, but I could get some surgery to do something. Like, fuck.
Well, they just want to look good.
Right.
Like, there's some people that look good until their face moves. Like, they can convince themselves they look good because they're, like, looking in the mirror... And then everything looks okay as long as they stay still.
Yeah.
But once they start talking, you go, hey, your fucking cheeks are moving, man.
Right.
Like one time we were in the green room.
No facial expression.
We were in the green room of the Improv in Brea. And this, remember when Joan Rivers and her daughter had like a reality show? And I was high as fuck.
And you're wondering, who do I want to fuck more, Joan or her daughter?
No.
Oh.
And that's how neither one of those were an option. But I was looking, we were really, really high. It was me and Diaz, and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So we're in the green room, and we're looking up at the screen, and I was freaked out. I mean, just like nervous and terrified at Joan Rivers' face, because her face was like a rubber kabuki mask.
It's absolutely as if when you're looking and you're like, it looks like somebody's about to explode. It looks like there's an impending something happening, and you're not sure what, but it's like it's so fucking not right.
Well, it just looked... frozen. It looked like frozen and rubber and weird. And she died getting operated on, right? It wasn't plastic surgery, though. I don't think it was plastic surgery.
Isn't that how Kanye's mom died, too? I think so.
Yes, I think she died from plastic surgery.
Anesthesia going under for,
That's
going under is no bullshit. It's weird that we live in such an advanced society, but they're like, just putting people to sleep, we might kill them. Don't know.
It's so rare, though. You have to be of poor health to go under. I've gone under a bunch of times for surgeries. And I've had both my knees done, one knee twice, my nose done. I've had a lot of shit fixed. And they just put you under in their front. Like, you never hear of a fighter dying when they go under. It's usually older people or people that are in poor health. Maybe. What have you had done?
My knee, my shoulder 3 times.
Damn, you had your shoulder done 3 times?
Yeah, I was an overachiever. They scoped it first, and then I ripped that one out, and then they did another one where it was a real aggressive thing. They changed my anatomy around in that shoulder.
What?
And then,
what does that mean?
Your bicep head goes in, and they cut off the bone where it goes in on one of them, and they moved it and screwed it in underneath to be like a physical block so it wouldn't dislocate, which then you fast forward 15 years later, and I was having a lot of AC joint hurt, like trouble, and there's just rubbing together. Mm-hmm. And so this other doctor, he goes in and he's going to clean that up, and he says it'll be great, awesome. He looks at my x-rays, he goes, "Oh my God, who did this to you?" And I go, "That's not very encouraging. What do you mean?" Fuck. He goes, "Just nobody ethically would change your anatomy like that." Like that's, and I was like, "It was a cutting edge shit at Michigan State University fucking 15 years ago. Like, I don't know."
Wow.
So anyway, but it's been solid since then. It's that's my good shoulder.
So did that guy do it again?
That guy just cleaned up my AC joint. That was the fourth surgery.
So when they clean it up, like, what do they do? Like, I know my friend Melissa from the UFC, had her shoulder done. She has...
I think they shave it. They put some kind of fake synovial fluid maybe back in it. They try to influence cartilage growth, perhaps.
Well, hers was bone growth. Like, when you have, like, any sort of an issue, like a lot of arthritis and rubbing, like, you see that a lot in spinal stenosis. Around the spinal columns, you'll see growth, like, on the edges of the spine.
Of the discs?
Yeah. Not on the discs itself, but on the hard pieces, the spine. You know, the disc is the stuff in between the spine.
Yep.
And the, what do they call those things? What's the spine bone? What's a bone?
I think we did the spine bone.
Spine bone?
Yeah, I know just what you're talking about.
The disc is your backbone.
The disc is in between that. There's a semi-permeable, like, pumicecrete type deal.
Yeah, that's the mushy stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that cushions everything.
Right.
And the bone like a shock around absorber. It.
Vertebrae. When it's
vertebrae. Thank you,
God
Jamie.
Damn
Thank
it.
You very, thank you very much, Jamie. I knew there was a word. How do I not remember that?
Seems like that's in my lexicon, but I couldn't summon
it. I've had a rough day. I've been running around. But the edges... As your discs get smaller, if you're losing disc degeneration.
Right.
And by the way, a lot of doctors will start to tell people that it's disc degeneration disease, and they'll let you know that, it's a disease. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's use. It's use. It's not a disease for the most part. It's most of the time when they say that, what it is you've been abusing your body. Because I've talked to a bunch of fighters, and they'll say, well, it's disc degeneration disease. I'm like, it has nothing to do with you fucking headbutting dudes 100 miles an hour, like shooting for doubles and running into people's hips.
Getting suplexed over and over again or judo tossed or whatever.
This isn't a disease. This isn't herpes.
Concussion.
Yeah, this is you're beating the fuck out of your body, man. But the edges, they develop like bone spurs. Hmm. Like the bone tries to grow, and almost like your bone is trying to fill in the area where it knows the spinal disc isn't there anymore.
It's weird how your body fights for homeostasis no matter what, like going into that. That's like they said, my shoulder, there's enough scar tissue in this one that's probably what keeps it from getting dislocated.
The scar tissue keeps it in place.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got to get on that. On that stem cell shit.
Dude, stem cell shit is the best.
Vegas, you still got to give me that guy's info.
Oh, yeah, well, that's Dr. Davidson from the UFC is the one who connected me with the people. But, dude, they've done a bunch of people now. A bunch of UFC people have staggering results.
Yeah, you were saying Roy Nelson did his knee or
Cormier. Daniel Cormier did his knee. Stem cells.
If I were those guys at AKA, I would just do every joint. Even if there's no problem, I'd be like, if you were the coach, you'd be like, just get in there and just do it.
Well, that's what Ludwig did.
Preemptively?
Preemptively. Got both his shoulders done. I think he did his hips, too.
Dude, I can't imagine he's such a savage. And to hold mitts for somebody like that, like him, like Winklejohn should do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you beat the fuck out of yourself. Brandon Gibson, all those guys. You're a professional mitt holder. You need to do that. That's worse than fighting.
Yeah. Yeah,
For your shoulder joint health, that's horrible.
Especially if you're holding mitts for some fucking gorilla.
For fucking John Jones?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, John Jones hits hard, but like, imagine like Travis Brown.
Cain Velasquez or Travis Brown. Alistair Overeem.
Alistair, yeah. Especially Alistair when he was on the sauce.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I believe it's true. I think it was proven. Tusks. I believe it was proven. I don't know what you're saying.
All that shit is so dumb. That drug shit. Fucking stupid. You know, when I was in high school, I had to write a paper, and the paper that I wrote was that you should legalize every drug. and I was all...
That sounds like the kind of thing a 14-year-old would write.
I was all hyped up on NWA and gangster rap, and I was like, how in the fuck did Eazy-E get an Uzi? Like, he doesn't look like anybody that should have an Uzi.
That's true.
It's because he can sell, and the black market is the only thing that makes crime. I'm like, why do we have a black, if they want to, but that's the thing is like, and not everybody's all fucking excited about marijuana being, you're all twats. Everybody's a fucking pussy. You're out there like, oh, look at we can smoke a joint on CNN. Well, guess what? You still got fucking 500,000 guys that are locked up. You should be protesting that every fucking day if pot's really actually legal. Like in those states, they should just be letting dudes out by the fucking dozens every minute.
That is true. Can you imagine if you were in Colorado and you're in jail for selling weed?
I'd be like, what in the fuck? What in the fuck? And then how many of those guys are in there and then they fucking catch a real case in there because now you got a fight or you're in a riot or fuck. It's horrible.
That does happen.
All that shit should be legal. The only thing that, and people are like, well, if they would just tax it, everybody's like, if they just tax it, the government, but that's on the idea that the government gives a fuck. The government, it makes more money. It's not like if I can tax you who wants to buy weed, I want to have, how do I tax everybody? I make them all scared and then I imprison guys for this illegality. And then I can get the public dollars because look, isn't it scary that we got these black and Mexican guys that are selling dope and we need to put them somewhere?
Well, that's a business.
That's a huge business, the whole business, and that's why...
Well, that's like, a business, though. There's another business. The other business is legal marijuana, mm-hmm. where you make more money from tax dollars from legal marijuana in Colorado. Yes, they do. And this year in Colorado, they made more money from tax dollars from marijuana than they did from alcohol for the first time ever.
Okay, but what I would love to see...
Because they tax it very high.
What I want to see, then, is those numbers... versus all the public and federal money that comes from taxpayers that goes into law enforcement, whether it's at sheriff, drug enforcement levels, DEA levels, FBI, like all the different funding, which is fucking huge, and all the prison shit. Like, where's all the – so all the public tax dollars – show me that the taxing on pot is more than that, and I would agree.
But well, it's not more than that
now. I bet it's dwarfed.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right. Well, especially – well, drug enforcement – is weird because you're looking at a blanket, you know, you're looking at pills, you're looking at heroin, coke, the marijuana drug
legal,
enforcement.
Legal. Make it all legal.
Make it all legal, and at least you're going to get taxes from stuff that's already being sold anyway, and then you can use that money for education, use that money for treatment. But the people that are in law enforcement, the problem with the law enforcement when it comes to drugs is like they're fucking lobbying to keep shit illegal.
Yeah, they don't want it. They don't want it legal.
They don't.
And why would you? And then when you've got, I believe it's the biggest union in the, maybe in the world, but in the country, is the correctional.
Prison guards.
Yeah, so you got prison guards. Well,
I don't know
guards.
If it's the biggest, but they lobby. They're one of the biggest contributors for drug legals, keeping drugs illegal. Yep. They lobby hard to make sure the drugs stay illegal because it keeps them in jobs. But you know what, man? You just got to figure out alternatives for those people. Do you think people that are prison guards want to be fucking prison guards? If you could find some sort of a positive job.
If you could, but I bet a lot of those guys are like, I'm in power over some fucking bad motherfuckers, and they like that.
Ugh.
Their just consciousness is fucked up because they're like, well, if you got that job, you're a prisoner.
Yeah.
I mean,
you are a prisoner all day.
You know what I mean? You've chosen to be a prisoner and you think you're free. You're fucked.
You're a head guy.
You just don't know. And so it's a guy that's kind of got that kind of consciousness to where he doesn't even know he's fucked.
Can you imagine the fucking feeling that you must get? Like, they shut those gates behind you and you're working with all those people that are in there for life and you got to go home at night.
Mm-mm.
And then you're going to go home at night and you can quit and leave anytime you want.
Right.
But your work environment is filled with all these people that are just doomed. They're doomed. And occasionally they riot.
Yeah. I don't. I watched that Freeway Rick Ross documentary last week, and I thought, man, that is crazy. Like, you're like, you know, like, more money than anything. Like, you could, anything. You're living a life that, like, is like, if Bill Gates had an exciting life, like, type, like, whatever you wanted to do, any vacations, anything, and then you go into nothing, a prison, and then you come out, and he's just, like, printing T-shirts or whatever he's trying to do and trying to stay straight.
He's just trying to hustle.
Fuck.
Yeah, he does, like, speeches and does a bunch of different shit, but he's just trying to hustle and stay straight.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's also crazy because he went in, and he was making all that money, millions and millions of dollars, and he couldn't read.
Millions a day.
Yeah, millions a day. Couldn't read.
Yeah.
And then figured out how to read. Then figured out how to fucking read law books. And then figured out that his case was bullshit.
Yeah.
And then got it overturned because he was in he was under the three strikes law.
Yeah.
But they tried to try him.
Said it was an ongoing criminal enterprise, not a or whatever. It's like it was one robbing spree. That it wasn't secular events is how he did it. Like, so they were saying, oh, Ohio's a separate thing. And he's like, no, because I was on a continuous criminal spree. Like, my whole life was a continuous criminal spree.
Well, the three strike thing, they tried him for two things at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it's not how it works. You're supposed to go away, and then they catch you again, and you go away, and then they catch you again at three strikes. But they tried to do it for him with more than one different thing tagged onto one arrest.
Right.
And that's not how it works.
Oh, and then they planted a bunch of shit on him.
They just wanted to put him in jail to win.
That's the thing. It's weird that they let him out. It's weird that that worked. Like, that's...
Well, it worked because he was right.
Yeah.
But the problem... I've been talking about this a lot. I think the problem with law enforcement in general, like, one of the big problems is that people want to win. When people get in the game, whether it's jujitsu or it's fucking ping pong, you want to win.
Or like the drug testers, like they're not wanting you to have, I mean, that's not true. Some guys probably are, but they're not looking for you to have a free test. They're like, I want to catch this dirty guy. And they see all the guys as dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, that's the hustle, right? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to catch people cheating. So they, I'm going to get this motherfucker. Like every day you're playing a game and the game is catch the guy with the rubber dick.
Do you think they should... Oh, the
fake piss. God, the Wizinator.
I got excited for some, yeah. Jeff Monson made that famous.
Did he?
Yeah, he was the first guy that I know that I'd heard about a Wizinator with. Well, but those guys are fucking, I think all that shit should be legal too. Like when they do gene splicing or whatever the fuck is next that they're going to do, like they're going to have myostatin inhibitors and all that kind of stuff. You're going to have a thing if all these fucking useless fucking nerds that are regulating this shit are like, we want to have clean athletes. Whatever. Okay. So you're going to have a crowd of fucking people at the MGM that are all in way better shape and condition than the actual fucking fighters that are competing. Well, that is for sure what the future is.
When that does happen, we're going to have a totally new conversation. Because I think right now what's going on is they're just trying to prevent the first drips of water that are coming out of that dam. And they're putting their fingers in it.
It's like stopping the rise of the machines. Elon Musk, you're not going to do it. It's coming. It's coming.
What are you going to do when the rise of the... New Mexico?
I just roll, baby.
You're going to go to...
I just roll.
I'm rolling with you.
I don't know. I'll ride it out. You know
how do
what
we
mean?
Do this?
I'll survive.
Well, tell me how we do this. Let's freestyle.
I don't know. I can't plan.
Let's get a ranch.
I can't plan.
Let's get a ranch.
We've been talking about that for a decade.
Let's do it.
All right.
Come on, man. We both have money.
What state?
You're making some bank now. I see you in the movies.
How crazy.
Every time I fucking watch an action movie, I see you get shot.
I'm in Sicario right now.
Are you in that one?
Yelling in Spanish at motherfuckers.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that movie's dope.
They're like, can anybody speak Spanish? I'm like,
right here, bitch.
Well, I looked around. There's four of us, and I looked around, and there's fucking a bunch of Chicano dudes and me. And I was like, well, if one of these guys for sure. And none of them raised their hand. I'm like, boom. And then I got on my text to fucking the guy that coaches jiu-jitsu for us at 10th Planet in Santa Fe. And I'm like, hey, Ruben, how do I say
get on one of those
fucking...
And so
through text, I.
Through text?
Through text, I'm like, dude, you got to write it out phonetically. I don't need to know the real... this has got to sound right.
You just got to get one of those Rosetta Stones.
And then I just practiced over and over. It was in the moment. It was like going to film 20 minutes later.
Oh, shit.
It was like right then. They're like, hey, we want to add this scene in. It was awesome.
Oh, shit.
It's a little known secret.
Wow.
Don't tell anybody.
Too late. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, dude. I just make shit happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I say I just freestyle that shit. Like, how it's going to work. It's like the whole movie thing and going, how did this happen? I'm like, fuck, I don't know. And like, I'd try to ask you, I'm like, do I need an agent? And you're like, fuck, I don't know. And you know, one of the best things that I'd heard about it is fucking Pauly Shore. And he goes, he was at the...
Pauly Shore gave you advice?
No, he was giving advice to like three other little actors, like Benji and a couple people that were comics at the store. And he goes, you know, the truth is nobody knows how to do it. And I just took that and I go, okay, fuck everybody. Everybody that tell you how to do it, they never done it. All those people are coaching acting or they're doing whatever. And I'm like, I'm just going to run with this and fucking do it. And I'll show up and I see the guys that are there and I'm like, well, I don't know that I'm great, but I know I'm better than that guy. And
well, you also have an unusual look.
I do.
You know?
I do. I've been told that a lot and now it's paying off.
But, you know, you're a big, giant dude. You got a crazy beard.
Yeah.
You know how to fight. Handsome. Like, you have all these skills. Handsome as fuck.
Thank
intelligent.
Thank
speak
you.
Well.
Green-eyed devil.
You look great. Got a lot going on.
Well, so, all that came, and then I just kept, I always used to live, like, thinking the other shoe's about to drop, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
for a long time, and I thought, it's just not going to end up good. And because, like, I didn't correlate that my actions were getting my results in a lot of ways, And I think, a big part of that is just being accountable for your life. Like, a guy told me, he says, you know why you're all fucked up? And I go, why? And he's like, because you think you're a good guy. Because you base yourself on your intentions, and the whole world is reacting to your actions.
Ooh.
And I was like, "Well, don't they know that I intended?" And I'm like, "None of that." If you step on a dude's shoes and you didn't mean to, his shoes are still fucking dirty.
Right.
And
right.
And so, like, just bringing all that shit into my everyday. And I think the whole thing, more and more that I think about it, is heightening awareness. And the more you are aware, the less dumb you are. And the less dumb you are, the better off you do.
That's a really good point.
But you
point.
Can train yourself to be more aware,
Yes, you can.
And it happens all the time. And you don't just get it, but you get layers of it,
Yeah, layers is the whole, that's a great way of putting it. The whole way you just said it is a great way of putting it. I think a lot of people think that they're a good person.
Right.
But they'll do douchey shit, or they
sure.
try to get away with something because they're hustling, they're broke, and, they're maybe
able
to fuck someone
over. Self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's that constant self-reflection. And people are like, well, how are you successful or whatever? And I'm like, because I'm a loser, I remember talking with you, and you're like, I always felt like a loser too. Like when we would go on the road and shit, and you're like, because I'm living a life that's different than other people are living. I'm not a 9-to-5 guy or whatever the thing is, And so you're living this life that's out of the norm, and it's like, and thank God you get to be an uncommon man in that way. The other way would have killed me, and you, and Eddie, and Ari. And what I mean? And Duncan. And you look at all of that, and I go, that's no fucking mistake that we're all doing well, happy, positive. And I go, man, I owe everything just to the people that I've chosen to have around me.
That's
and the
huge,
people that I've been graced about in my life.
Huge, huge part of your life. Huge part of your life.
Man.
And you get power when your friends are doing well. Like when I see you in movies, I get power.
Yeah.
When I see you in John Wick, I got power from that. Yeah. I was like, ooh.
We all, it's like an encourage. It's like, how do you stay inspired? You stay around inspirational people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing for me. And so, like, whether it's the gym I work out at or what I'm putting in my body or anything, like, mm-hmm. who I'm living, like, all that shit matters, man. Where I'm living, I used to live in Hancock Park, and then I moved to Venice, and I'm like, all my people are in Venice, and I want to be near the ocean, and, like, fucking, that's a different vibe down there.
It's a different vibe. It's very crowded, but it's a great vibe.
It's so nice, man. It's, like, more relaxing. It's like being in New Mexico for me, so
I'll jam next
that.
To each other, though. I don't like the crowdedness of
like,
Venice.
That's why I could never look at like New York.
Oh.
I'm only at like Deuce Gym, the place where I work out at and train a lot, is like,
I know where that is.
Outdoors, mm-hmm. right across
that's
from Whole
Foods.
That's
a great spot.
I'm just there posted up. We do podcasts there, fuck around. Like, it's rad. It's fucking nice. And then everything's walking distance.
Is that your friend's gym? Do you know people?
Yeah.
And so you live up near there?
Yeah, just like, I don't know,
that's
five minutes away.
It's a nice area. There's a lot of good restaurants. There's a lot of great
huge,
stuff.
Huge, man.
If you had a place to park your car.
You know, like, what, though? Parking's better than Hollywood. It beats the shit out of parking in Hollywood.
That's true. But Hollywood is so ridiculous.
And you can walk. Like, my favorite restaurants are like Clutch mm-hmm. on Lincoln, and then Oscar's down on Rose.
Yeah.
And those are just both 5 minutes from anywhere. Like, it's easy. Or there's a great Italian restaurant in Washington too that is mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of good places down there, like you said.
Yeah.
And there's always valet, there's always valet if you're
I hate valeting.
If you're fucking
yeah,
you just gotta drive the right car. You can't drive your car. I have a pickup truck. I'm a goddamn American over here. I don't have Joe Rogan money yet. I didn't have my, you know what, the who does this who, is it too, man.
Okay.
My pal, like, I've got, so after Breaking Bad, I got some money off of that, and then at that same time, a friend of mine from New Mexico, this guy Rico Taylor, he calls and he goes, hey dude, I'm and he was best friends with my friend Marcos, who started Nuevo with me. And so Nuevo, so everybody I fuck with is all people that I love and that I've been tied into for a long time, and everybody's doing good. It's rad. But he just picked up a Lambo, because he's like, and he goes, hey, is it realistic that I get I put 60 down on it, and I'll pay, I don't know if it's $4,000 a month or something, and does that sound reasonable to you? And I'm like, fuck no, it doesn't sound, that's crazy.
$4,000 is an apartment.
I'm like, my house isn't, like, what the fuck?
That's a mortgage. That's an apartment in New York City.
But
that's
I go,
awesome.
You're 33 years old. and you can fucking do that and be do that, live an unreasonable life, do that thing. Yeah. And so when I got that money, what happened with that was it seeded these bars, Concrete Cowboy. Mm-hmm. And so we got one in Austin, we got one in Houston, in 5 weeks we'll open, we got one in Dallas, and it's paid back like six times what we invested. But I gave that money going, I don't have any more money in the world, and fuck it, I've been broke before, here's my money. And fucking, I knew that Rico would take care of it. I knew he'd be a good steward of it. And if it didn't work, it didn't work and whatever. And like that, being free about it. And like, it did a couple things. Like, it made me go, the money's not you. It doesn't matter. Like, that's a replaceable commodity. That's nothing. And also, it's like, I've been rolling the dice my whole life. So let's roll the dice. And then we fucking just started taking off with that. And then 3 years later, motherfucker's driving a Lamborghini. Fucking rad, dude. It's rad.
Lamborghinis are shitboxes, though. Tell him those things are going to break down.
I rode that thing. Well, you know what he says?
What?
He's like, you just roll it for 2 years, and then you can sell it back. You can make money on it. And then I said, then what? He says, well, then you're just in the flip. Then you got a Lamborghini every year. You get a new one. I don't want
to
do that. What I want to do is I want to get one of those Icon 4x4s. If I'm going to spend $200,000, it's not even that. I had this 65 Riviera that I want to do. Yeah. But I called that dude before he was on your show.
Ward?
Yeah, and I go, I emailed him, and then he called me back. I go, hey, rad. I'm like, this guy's calling me. And he must have thought I had some Jay Leno money or something. He's like, oh, yeah, I used to work with guys in your field or whatever. I'm like, what is my field? Like, I don't even really know. And he's like, well, an actor. And I go, oh, okay, cool. And he's like, yeah, to redo your Rivi, it'd be like, you know, around 400. I'm like, you're talking the wrong fucking guy.
$400,000 to redo your Riviera. That
is crazy.
What did he want to do to it?
I don't know. Ground up, like, you know, the whole digitized and redo the whole undercarriage and the whole brake system and the steering, you know.
$400,000.
I don't know.
Because those Broncos.
If you guys can come in under 400, holler at your boy, Tate Fletcher on Instagram.
Because those Broncos are two. He does those Broncos, and done to the tits. Yeah.
He's got those, though, and then he's got, like, the reformers, and then mm-hmm. So they're different price points, and I think if you bring your own, you know, box of hazards to him, he probably thinks about it a different way. Who knows?
Well, he does a bunch of different kinds of cars, but one of the coolest ones he does is those old Toyota Land Cruisers.
Yeah.
He takes, like, those FJ62s. Like, yep. they don't even look that cool. And then he puts a Corvette engine in them. He puts a modern LS Corvette engine in them and fucking completely redoes the suspension.
See that one, that white one?
Yeah.
I like that with all that billeted fucking steel.
That one's stupid expensive.
Dude.
That one's like way into the twos.
Yeah.
Like high twos.
There's a used one I saw on YouTube or on eBay or somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
It was like 140 they were asking for.
One of his? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a bargain.
But a diesel fucking...
Diesel?
Awesome.
A diesel power wagon? Really?
Yeah.
See, he does amazing stuff. That guy is a real
He's a real engineer.
Yeah.
And an astute eye.
Well, you go to... I'll take you to his place if you want to go and check it out.
I called him. I was like, when are you there? He's like, oh, next week or whatever. Yeah, let's go up
together. Come with me. I'll go with you.
Okay.
Because he's doing a Blazer now. A K5 Blazer. Those old
sick,
Chevy
man.
Blazers.
I love those.
If he's going to do it, it's going to be insane.
Fuck
he's
yeah.
going to do an Icon version of the Blazer, so he's going to
so
completely
awesome.
Update the suspension and all the components. But yeah, man, his employee or his customers are just rich as fuck. I mean, those are the kind of people.
Well, it is the
does.
Jay Lunas of the world and all that. And
yeah,
I mean, I heard him on your show, and he was like, "Yeah, Dana wanted one, but he didn't want to wait or whatever." And I'm like, "Holy fuck, like, that's
yeah, it takes over a year." I mean, he has full time employees working on your car for over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it costs $200,000. But when you go there, you get it. Like, when I went to his shop, I'm like, oh, I get it. He's like, yeah, you could cut a lot of corners here there and have it look the same and cost $100,000. But this fucking guy's doing everything. Like, what is the best bolt
and
that I can get? What's the best
brakes?
He's standing
by his stuff. It's not like
forever.
You're driving off the thing at West Coast Customs or something like that or wherever it is. And it's like, yeah, see, and if you got a problem, come on back and we'll try. Like, that's a dude that is like, he cares about every piece that comes through.
Oh no. He not only does he just care, that guy, if he doesn't care, he won't build it.
Right.
He won't build it.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not excited about it.
When he said no to Dana, it's like, how huge is saying no? Like, being like, that's outside of my integrity.
Well, if Dana wants one of those Broncos, all he has to do is wait around and say, contact me whenever you got one for sale.
Well,
like,
and the other
Bronco
thing,
number one just went up for sale.
He could throw money in an account and go, here, I'll prepay for it. Just holler in a year when it's done or whatever.
Well, Dana's...
You're still going to want it in a year.
Impatient.
You're still going to want it.
Yeah.
Next year, you'd be like, can I get one now? Well, you could have if you would have given me money last year.
Yeah.
But now it's another year.
Yeah. Well, it's more now. I think he's into 2018.
That's the thing about
getting
better at anything. It's like, there's going to come a day when you want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking do it now. Like, that was one of the best, like, one of the, so many coaching, like, sports has given me so much, but, Mike Van Arsdale, one time, he would do like guided meditation sometimes after practice. And so there's fucking 40 sweaty guys laying on the mats. He'd turn the lights off in the gym at Jackson's. And he'd go, hey, I know you guys, we did a lot of technical wrestling today. And you think, hey, I'm young. There's a lot of time. And I'll be able to get this. I'll put this together. I'll piece it together. I got a little better today. He says, I just want you to consider that there's a guy that's demanding to be better right now. There's a guy that knows he needs to get it today, and you're going to have to fight that guy. So he's like, fucking turn your fucking learning curve up. And like, he would really speak into that kind of a voice of going, it's not just, ooh, when it happens, it happens. It's like, demand that you get better now. And that's a powerful way to look at stuff. I think that's some wrestling mentality, man. Those wrestlers are fucking, that's a different breed of guy. They're like, I need to do this now.
Well, I think you have that with boxers. You have that with kickboxers. You have that with anybody who is just fanatical about improvement. You have to have that insane just the drive
and
to
belief.
Perfection and belief. Yeah, but you gotta be obsessed, man. If you're not obsessed, you're not gonna beat the guy who's obsessed.
No, I remember when I saw fucking John Jones when he first came down. The first time I'd ever seen him was when I never knew anything about him until he beat up Stephen Bonner, and I was live at that fight, and I was like, holy fuck.
And he was just learning back
then. He didn't know it. And the throws, I was like, and Stephen's is maybe bigger than me. He's fucking not small. He's good. He's adept at everything. And he's hitting them with elbows like their jabs and knees and then throwing them like crazy. Anytime he'd get close to him, throw him. And I was like, holy fuck. And then, I don't know, a month or 2 months later, he came to Jackson's and he's there. And I was like, hey, and I knew he wrestled. Like, I knew a bunch of tough wrestlers from New York. And I was like, where'd you learn Muay Thai, though? Because, like, Tom Watson or who he'd just gotten back from a Dutch kickboxing camp, and dudes go to Thailand all the time, and there's all that, and he goes, YouTube. Like, fuck, what the fuck? Like, dudes are dying, and you're just like, he's like, well, I look at it and I go, huh, and then I believe, and I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, no proper training. He just watches shit on a video and he's like, like, don't watch The Matrix.
He's a special talent.
He is a special talent.
Well, I think one of the problems with John is that he absolutely has worked hard, but it has come way easier for him than it has for other people. And I think part of that is because he grew up with two super athletes for brothers.
Can't even imagine.
You're just getting your ass kicked all the time in your house by giant super athletes.
Yep.
Both his brothers are NFL fucking all-stars.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got two super athletes.
Tripoli's joke about it is hilarious. Right?
It like, is funny.
Whatever comes out of there, just Nike should sponsor. They should sponsor John's mom. They're all super athletes.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, his level is just like right out of the box.
Well, then they say they used to beat him up or what. He's like, I'm not the toughest one in my family. He's like,
he's the least toughest.
My brothers will beat my ass.
The younger brother, his younger brother beats his ass. Like, his younger brother was talking about it like in an interview. They asked him for TMZ. And he's like, I'll beat his ass right now. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Remember when he watched, when he choked Lyoto?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he doesn't even really know how to, like, I'm looking at that. Or when he choked Bader. I'm like,
well,
that's
the Lyoto choke was a great choke because he knows how to push. He's first of all, he knows got those how to long
cover,
limbs.
Cover the head.
He covers the head, but he pushes the arm, you know, he pushes his palm back
like
that way.
He's just learning.
He can seize that up.
He's learning in these moments.
But he's so strong. He's
and
so
then
strong.
I thought how scared. I was like Bader, he looked great against Rashad. Fucking, he looked like a different athlete. But
He's a different athlete over the last four fights, Bader is.
Yeah.
He's been amazing.
But back then, when he just relied on wrestling, that John Jones fight, when do you see a sun-kissed kid wrestler pull half guard?
Yeah.
Like that, like it's, and he just was like, I don't want to get in a bad position. Maybe I can hang on to this. And
yeah, he was just overwhelmed, I think, too.
And I mean, that's a kind of power that like he'd never felt, and that's a huge top of the food chain wrestler. Like,
which
that's
shows
crazy.
You how special John is.
Special.
Like, look at how good Glover Teixeira has looked against everybody else but John. Well, Phil Davis did beat his ass, but Phil Davis beat his ass when he was fighting out of Connecticut, and his shoulder was all fucked up from the John Jones fight, and there's a lot of things
really
wrong with his camp.
Glover has the right mentality, too, as far as, like, stalking and getting really aggressive towards mm-hmm. Jones and taking the center, because John just takes the center of the ring and makes everybody run in a circle around him. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
But Glover was like, that was one of the fascinating things about that fight. Glover was like loading up on shots, yeah. and John was just aware of everything. He's like, nope.
You can't fight him like that. I think guys are looking like they want to put him away, and it's mm-hmm. like, it's not, he sees too much
yeah.
to be able to do that. You have to really, how are you going to surprise him with one shot? You're not.
It's incredible, though, when you think about that. It's incredible that he has that sort of awareness with a relatively small amount of time striking.
Yep.
I mean, when you consider his entire life, and the fact he's only 27, wins the title at 23, you know?
Yeah, the growth is
did 22, 2 or 23 that he won the title?
22.
22, yeah.
So.
I mean, I hate what happened with him. I hate to see a guy run into that classic cliche of partying and just messing up his life, and then the hit and run. It's like, God damn.
I think it's that youth stuff, you know, and it's the thing that, like, I would just ask everybody to be gracious looking at it in that way, because it's shit that maybe not everybody does, but a lot of young dudes, you go through that shit, and he went through it. At a little later time, maybe, but away public time. Like, he's, you know, I think that's the thing. That when you're so publicized like that, people are going to see all your warts.
Yep.
And there's nobody that's walking without warts. It's like, that's mm-hmm. one of the problems with the way we view, I think, politics, I think everything. It's like, you know, before the internet, like, all those politicians are pretending that they didn't fuck kids or have affairs or do blow or
fuck
whatever.
Fuck kids. Who can bust the fucking
know they
kids?
Do. Come on.
That's Jared.
But that,
I know,
like,
what you're saying.
You know, that,
yeah.
that kind of thing. And it's like, when you live with transparency, like, we have a lot more transparency now. It's like, everybody's seen, there's no cover-ups of scandals.
Right.
Except 9/11. But beyond
what?
That, they...
What about chemtrails? Black helicopters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to change politics in the future, if people are going to be forced to just be human. And
that's the thing.
And grow, you know? And be a real person. Because that speech-type style of delivery, where they're not real... You know, that they do, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States,
sure.
my fellow Americans, mm-hmm. today is a day that will live in infamy.
There's like, a bunch of speechwriters that
exactly.
have this template, and they want to put that template on
the
desk.
It's also like the tone, the way they speak, it's all fake. And I always wonder, like, are we going to come to a point in time where a guy gets on stage or a woman gets on stage as the president and speaks like a human and says, here's our situation.
Right.
This is where we're at. We have a real problem with Syria. You know,
you're
going to run for president with Kanye
yeah.
West?
I think, well,
you
I don't
and
know
Kanye? You could fuck Kanye up in debates.
Well, for sure.
You would run trains on that dude in debates.
A train.
He would try to talk over you.
Has a connotation that,
like,
I would be with other guys.
I think I gave you your time, sir.
That'd be awesome.
I'm not Taylor Swift.
That would be awesome. You know, I think, I don't know, I feel like, you know, we take a lot for granted from old ideas, you know, and like, mm-hmm. it's like, goes back to Pauly Shore going, nobody knows how to do it. There's
yeah.
no path.
Well,
you make your own path, right?
That's the thing, because Pauly came from stand-up, and there's absolutely no path in stand-up.
Right.
Like, no one, because at least, like, with acting,
I
you're
really
going
like
in for
stand-up.
A role.
I'm
going
to go on to some open mics.
Tate Fletcher, let's do it.
But I think the same thing.
Bravo wants to do it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's down. He wants
cool.
to do it again.
Cool.
You know, I had Eddie do it, like, he probably did, like,
remember, he
remember
said
those
he,
days, like, eight
yeah,
times?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he was like, you know, he's like, I had this joke that I thought was just awesome, and it was about hookers, and it just didn't come out, you know the one. And anyway, but, you know, you look at all these old ideas that people have, and even, like, this whole stigma of, like, well, we have low attention span. We're looking at it wherever my phone is. We're looking at our phones all the time,
mm-hmm.
or we're this and that. But, you know, you look at that, and you go, okay, if I were a corporate media thing and I wanted to put out a fucking new entertainment thing, and it's going to be anywhere from an hour to 3 hours long, and it's just going to be guys talking, any corporation would be like, that's never going to catch on. We need sound bites, we need MTV news, like, we need fuck. And you look at podcasts and you look at what
yeah.
they are, and people are fucking more invested in that because it's real, because
yeah.
there's authentic voices to it.
Well, you know, that was one of the number one things that people said to me when I first started out, like, you can't do 3 hour podcasts,
right?
And I go, why not? And they said, well, because no one's going to listen to 3 hours. I go, well, they don't have to.
Right.
You could just shut it off. Like, I don't get it.
That's why,
like,
it goes
Ari
to, like,
and me had, like, an argument about it.
As long as we're just having fun, who gives a fuck?
Ari was, like, adamant about it. You have to edit your podcast. I'm just telling you right now. You have to edit your podcast. I go, why? He goes, because it's too long. I go, well, so what? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Why do I have to edit
and
it?
And also, more importantly, is that a road that you've walked? You have experience with yours being too long?
Well, everybody was comparing it to a show.
But nobody had any experience at all.
But they thought about it like a Comedy Central show, like an hour-long show.
Which then speaks to the thing about
old stuff.
Old ideas. You've got to put away your old ideas if you want to be on the tip of the spear. Yeah.
Well, also, don't you think, I mean, my point of view was like, you and I, long before we ever did podcasts, we always had these conversations, you know, before a show or after a show or hanging out. We would talk for fucking hours, hours and hours. And it seemed to me like a half hour into the conversation or 45 minutes, shit just started getting cooking.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, an hour in later, we're like, yeah. And then blah, blah, blah. And then the stories come out. I remember this one time.
Yeah.
And those are the fun conversations.
And if you get to know each other and then you make that into an audience and then fuck, then they get to know you. And then there's not all, like... You know, there's not all this, these barriers between us all. We all see our similarities and there's less dissension. There's less animosity. There's more understanding. There's more graciousness and generosity. And like, if we could get that way with everybody, if everybody like felt that way instead of this corporate dominion, like here's what CNN says that we need
to be. Also, you have direct feedback from other people about what you're doing.
Right.
And that feedback has been super valuable to me, man. Even the negative stuff, like nobody likes to hear criticisms about what they do, but if you consider it and find, well, is there any truth in that? You could find out a lot about your style of interviewing people or talking to people, where you make mistakes. And no one's perfect. You're not going to make mistakes. I mean, you're not going to have a podcast that every word comes out perfect. It's just not possible because you're free
balling. Even when you do your ads.
Yeah, I free
ball. How much do you stumble on?
All the time.
And it doesn't fucking matter.
Well,
if somebody were directing you.
Yeah.
They would
want
say
you to
it
do
matters.
It again. Do it again. We're going to do it again. You don't have. I mean, sometimes I have to do it again.
Sure.
But the reality is that this medium is new and no one had it before. And this medium is like they gave these kids the controls. Like they gave these kids the ability to broadcast a radio show. And then they just did it their way.
Right.
And then they go, well, why don't I just start talking? Let's just see what happens if we don't have commercials
that,
in the middle of it.
That becomes the thing is like, as long as you're having fun as the person involved in it, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the result is in a way. It's like a fight or a comedy sketch or what. When you go up and you try a joke, it's like there's not a, and you're trying to figure it out and do it the best you can.
In real time.
Right.
In real time with no script and no back.
And that's like being in competition. It's like in competition is where greatness happens. People figure shit out in a crazy way inside of that kind of pressure.
Right.
And so if you step on stage, you've got an increased amount. It's not like you're in your living room in front of your mirror trying to say a fucking joke.
Right.
It means something different. So you grow more in that competition. Mm-hmm. The seconds mean more. The fucking moments mean more. All of that stuff. And you don't get that if you're not willing to throw it out and expose yourself live. Mm. And that's like putting this live on the internet. Like, that's a huge exposure. And either you're an authentic person that's got something or you don't. And it becomes, like, I think it's super visible, and I think it's super important that we all get to that instead of all these masks that we wear all the time, you know? It's like, and to me, it doesn't matter. If you're, like, it's like Ari saying that, I'm sure I know he feels differently now.
He laughs about it
now. But, like, if you're, so does that mean that you don't have a conversation that's more than 15 minutes with your friend? Like,
well, it's not even a 15-minute thing. It's just like he thought it had to be like an hour because a show is an hour.
But not a real hour, 42 minutes, because we got to have time for commercials.
Yeah, there's that, too. Well, they also, most people do the commercials in the middle of shit, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, man, I tried, you watch that show, there's a new Fear of the Walking Dead? It's the new Walking Dead?
No, I've seen an ad for it.
Dope.
Really?
It's dope. It's so good.
I thought The Walking Dead was going to be shit, and I watched it, and I was like, and then I watched like 6 or 10 episodes, and I was like, this is stupid. It's the same episode over again, and then I watched another 20 episodes. I just couldn't stop watching it no matter what.
Well, you know what? Fear the Walking Dead is interesting because it's less special effects.
Right.
You got less zombies, and it's better. And the way it's shot so well. Whoever the director is and whoever the cinematographer is or the camera director, they're bad motherfuckers because they it's done so well. It's done like a really good movie.
That's cool.
And there's very few cut the shit moments in it. It's really good, man.
Dude, this new show that's coming out is Westworld, this HBO show with Anthony Hopkins.
And is that like the old movie with Yul Brynner?
Yeah, same shit. Ed Harris and Anthony Hopkins.
That's HBO. What I was going to say is I watched that show the other day for the first time. I usually watch it on Apple TV, whatever it is, Apple TV.
Yeah.
The other night I watched it on TV, and I sat through the fucking commercials.
Like, I can't do that
God.
I can't do commercials.
It's ruthless.
I mean, and that's the thing is TV is going away. It's all going to go this digitized.
But why can't they have, like, whoever the fuck is paying for all those commercials, right? Why don't they make a big deal out of it? Say, fucking Ram Trucks is going to sponsor the whole fucking episode, okay?
Yes.
We're going to have one commercial in the beginning. Ram Trucks is proud to present Fear of the Walking Dead. Just do it as a goddamn, just a test.
And make them dope.
Make everyone
the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah. How about make one where a guy in a fucking Ram truck is running over zombies.
Yeah.
Crushing their heads and fucking headed off into the distance and
see, this is the thing,
getting
though,
head while he's driving.
It's old ideas. We need to start a production company.
That's what I'm saying. What else do we need to do? We need to do something else. Oh, we need to make little 15-minute kids commercials.
I guess we're going to need that too, yeah.
kids short films.
Yeah.
We need a ranch in New Mexico. New Mexico, that's a spot?
It's a good spot. But Colorado is good too. I mean,
Colorado's pretty beautiful.
It's and nice and game-rich and not all fucked up with pollution yet.
And weed's-free and legal there.
And weed's-free and legal if that's your thing, you know?
That's my thing.
I like free and legal no matter what. I don't have any use for weed, and I love it free and legal.
Yeah, I would like it if everything was free and legal.
Yep.
We need less laws. We do. We need less laws, less people enforcing those laws, and more common sense. More common sense, more freedom, more allowing people to do whatever the fuck they want, as long as it doesn't hurt people. And then put restrictions on shit that does hurt people that's not in place right now.
Right.
Like financial shit. Like how about the fact that none of those guys that caused the financial crash of 2008 are in jail?
That's so crazy.
How about that?
That's like the whole thing about being accountable.
Yeah.
Like I don't hang out with, like if you weren't accountable for your actions or responsible, I wouldn't fucking hang out with you. It's the kind of thing, and it's like, why would I accept less from my politicians or from anybody that is like not going to be accountable? It's like everybody's got to be held accountable, and that's the way good shit works. If I start a business,
that's the way you improve.
If I start fucking Nueva Cerveza and it's a shit product, or we don't do due diligence in marketing or whatever the fucking thing is, and it fails, nobody's fucking bailing me out, and I could put all my money into that and go broke. Like that could be the thing. But GM, they have a failing business model, and we're gonna go ahead and write them a check for $1 trillion. Like what the fuck is that?
Oh, you mean like the bailouts?
Yeah. All that shit.
They
it's like that
up.
Doesn't make any sense. All that too big to fail shit. Shit shouldn't be too big to fail.
Well, they did pay back all those loans though, and they are profitable now, and they have improved and made incredible vehicles now. So, I see your point in some
you
ways.
You gotta let shit die.
Yeah, but god damn it, then they'd have no 2016 Corvette, and that thing's pretty sick.
Who needs a Corvette?
How
if you drive
dare
a Corvette, you are
a
douche. Fucking nozzle.
You don't have a Corvette. Right?
Stop it. That's not a real Corvette. That's an old school Corvette. It's not like one of these that's brand new off the lot.
My
1987 Corvette. Like,
hold
stop all that.
87? 1987?
You know what I mean?
That's the dark years.
They're all dark years after fucking 1972?
Yeah, but until about 2013, 2014. Well, the newer ones are pretty dope, dude.
You can't ever...
Your boy with the Lamborghini?
I'd
take Corvette over
no
a Lamborghini.
No way.
Yes, sir.
You know why I wouldn't?
Why?
Resale, and then I would buy a truck.
How about...
And a house.
How about America? Keep America strong? Keep America strong?
You know
strong?
What the best thing about Keep America Strong is? What did they pull the NASA space shuttle with?
What did they put?
A Toyota Tundra?
Oh, no, they didn't. Did they?
Yeah.
That's awful.
100% awesome.
It's a good
so
truck,
good
though.
I'm like, how did that get through?
Toyotas are good trucks.
Fucking
you
the
have
best
a Toyota.
Yeah, that's my it's my favorite, that Tacoma.
They don't break.
It.
They don't break.
Don't ever break.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a diesel, too, I heard.
Well, that's why everybody fell in love with those Land Cruisers.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they used to say in Africa. If you want to get into the bush, you bring a Range Rover. You want to get out, you bring a Land Cruiser.
That's why I love that dude, John, because he's like all about making it last forever instead of all these, like, I'd love to have a Mercedes or a BMW or something. Like, now that I'm able to, it'd be great. Except that I just can't fucking buy something that's going to crap out in 60,000 miles. They all have an expiration date where there's like, now there's real problems forever with the rest, you know? And it doesn't need to be that way. I don't want to support that kind of culture. That's rape culture to me.
How dare you?
Yeah.
That's why I like those Lexus trucks. I got that Lexus.
Yeah.
That LX570.
I like Infinities.
Dude,
those are dope and they last forever
too. They're not as good.
They look good.
I've had that.
They're handsome
and I've had
looking.
The Lexus. The Lexus is a better truck. I had
not
a Lexus,
looking.
And then I got an Infiniti, and then I got... You, have you seen my new one?
I haven't seen it.
It's dope. spaceship. They're
outside?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Oh.
They make awesome trucks, man. They make awesome trucks. They also, the Lexus trucks, they're actual real four-wheel drive trucks. It's based off the Land Cruiser platform. So they raise up. They have locking differentials. Rad. Like if the shit hits the fan, yep. You could actually go off-roading with a Land Cruiser. You could go off-roading with a Lexus LX570. It's the same car. It's the same as a Land Cruiser.
Rad.
But there's a lot of electronic shit that the old ones didn't have. The old ones, that what people liked about them is you could just drive those motherfuckers through the desert, take them over a mountain. Yep. They're so durable.
Yep.
You know? And Jonathan Ward, what he does to them makes them way more durable. He puts polyurea coating over the entire floor of the car. Like, that shit is never rusting through, ever. He puts these side, rock sliders on the side of them that also act as side impact beams.
Awesome.
Somebody hits you from the side. He puts solid steel bumpers on them, American-made bumpers. These giant fucking bumpers with a winch, a worn winch to fucking pull you out. 8,000-pound winch to pull you out of fucking trouble.
Yeah.
He's got Jerry cans in the back that carry water.
Oh, okay, yeah,
he's got he puts these roof racks
this
on.
This is what we need for
with
the
a
ranch.
Ramp on the front that so that they don't rattle at speed when you're on the highway. It's so
freedom,
genius.
Freedom
what he's
Ranch.
Doing. The Freedom Ranch. Let's call it the Freedom Ranch.
Yes.
Somebody probably already took that in Texas.
And you know what we do? We call in Tim Kennedy to be our engineer for how to do the security perimeter and what all we need in there exactly to survive.
He'd get bored.
Well, he wouldn't stay for sure. He'd be like, I'll come visit you guys now and again.
I need adventure. He would have to fucking go off and do something else.
He's like, let's go shoot pigs out of a helicopter. That's the big thing. I'm like, let's
is that what he
fucking
does?
Do that.
He's crazy.
That's my next trip to Austin.
To go do that?
Is that, yeah.
Yeah. Austin. Well, that's the thing about Texas. If we want to have a ranch in Texas, they already exist, and they have game ranches.
And you can shoot all the pigs you want.
Well, not just pigs. You can shoot. They bring in all these African animals, and so there's no regulations on them.
Deer
they're privately
that was
African, owned.
That was like, it was one of these high fence ranches, mm-hmm. and they had a lot of that exotic
like
game
axis,
in there. Yeah.
Deer. Yeah.
You know, you want to jump over an airplane?
Jump out of an airplane?
Yeah.
You know, the dude from that MTV show just died doing that.
I don't know who he is, but my friend Andy Stump, he does wingsuit shit.
Oh, fuck him.
And so he was a SEAL Team 6
fuck
guy.
Fuck him and fuck that.
Right? And he's wild. You got to have
you
him on
that?
Your show.
Would you wingsuit it?
I wouldn't wingsuit. Like, you got to know some shit. I have never jumped out of an aircraft, but he used to teach. He taught my cousin who he went through buds with Andy. Andy
Where does
was,
he live?
Andy was an instructor. He lives in San Diego.
Bring him up.
And,
bring him up.
I
you
will.
And him together.
I will. And
does he drink?
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I know he drinks. Yeah.
Well, maybe he will enjoy some Nuevo Cerveza live
but he,
from New Mexico.
He does this shit to do the Navy SEAL Foundation, and so all the monies go to that. He's trying to break four records in a single jump. Yeah, they would love that.
I'll just give them money. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to jump in any helicopters.
Oh, I do. I'm going to jump out of a plane with them.
You know what's really thrilling? Bow hunting. Good enough.
That's good too. But you know what? You know what, dude? So another friend of mine, he's this Army Ranger, and he's retired. He's gone from that. It's weird. Retired and he's 26 or something. But he started fucking around with a bow when he got done. And he's a real he doesn't talk to anybody. He's a real soloist. Kind of likes to go sit in the woods by himself. And he started messing around with bows. And I go, oh, you shoot a compound bow or what are you shooting? He goes, no, he makes his own, of course. So he went to recurve, right, first. Then he started making his own. And I go, why is that? He goes, well, because it's like the other one's like shooting a rifle. He's like, it's just there's nothing. He says this. And like, so he's like all wants to be on horseback and shoot it. Like, he's a fucking trip and deadly
Mongol
as fuck.
Style.
Those guys are a trip. That's some different level shit. When you talk to those guys that are special operators like that, like I'm listening to Andy and Andy's talking. He's like, he's talking about, like, oh, there's a SWAT team guy with us, and he's, like, talking about his MP5, and he's like, why do you have that? And he's like, that's a fucking useless weapon. Like, I hit a guy 8 times in the chest with that across the room, and he walked into the other room. I mean, he laid down there, but it's like, he fucking, like, he's like, well, I just use it for sport, for target practice. He says, oh, well, that's okay then. He's like, you really want to get it? He's like, just right. Just under the eyes and above the teeth, you want to get in that area. And I'm like, holy fuck.
When anybody says above the teeth, you're talking about shooting a person above the teeth. Oh, God.
He's amazing. And you're like, this is one of the kindest, friendliest guys. And then you hear and you're like, holy fuck.
Some of the nicest people I know were special operators. Some of the
really
nicest
dope.
People I know.
I talked to him, too. I'm like, how come there's – he gave me a real insight into that about how come there's not – more like withdrawal from war from guys that are special operators than regular guys. It's like everybody that has PTSD, like there's a ton of it. And he goes, yeah, there's not a lot in our community. And I go, why is that? He goes, well, because if you're a regular guy on the ground, infantry guy, you can't engage. You have to be reactive. You have to be fired upon or whatever. There's rules of engagement. And he goes, for us, we're predators and we're going out to engage. And so it's a different mindset. You're in a place of either being defensive or offensive. And if you're defensive, you're prey in a way, and you get to be reactive to that. But he's like, we're out hunting. And he's like, also, by the time you get to that level, you're very dialed in about who you are and what you're doing. Which that I thought makes was sense. Super interesting.
That does make sense.
He's like, it's very, like, because he talked to Tim, too, and Tim's like, that shit's not present to him at all. He's like, yeah, no, I'm fucking
good. When he was on the podcast, we were talking about it. He's like, you know, we're talking about people that are throwing acid on girls that were going to school. He's like, yeah, I kill those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you say it like that, I'm right there with you.
Yep.
If I was there, I get it. I get it 100%. And that's the type of guys you want.
Fuck yes.
But there's not a lot of those guys out there. I mean, there's a reason why it's so fucking hard to become a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's so hard to be a Ranger. It's not easy.
No, that's the kind of shit like Marcus Luttrell talks about. Mm-hmm. He goes, you've got to be, you know, if you get through, but you've got to be willing to die, you know?
Yeah.
You know, my cousin, he was in SEAL Team 2 and he got in a gunfight and then he got shot up and he's recovered now. And I think he just screened for SEAL Team 6 and it's like a year after his injury, but, two of his friends died in a pool and they're in
training.
Yeah. And it's completely controlled environment. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
Well, you know what a lot of that is. Huh. My friend Eric Crisp said when he was going through it, they make you drown.
Part of the training.
Yeah.
That's like the beginning of BUDS for everybody. Mm-hmm. But these guys are already active duty combat SEALs. And I started, and then like a few weeks ago, it dawned on me. And I think about like, you know, everybody's got safety and comfort. Like, here's where we live, right? Mm-hmm. And then like Greg Jackson always say, you need to be comfortable where other men are uncomfortable. Like, you need to raise your breaking point to where it's unreachable for them and you can smash theirs, right? And like, so there's safety and comfort. And then there's death over here. And so if you're pushing it in like a combat arena, like for me, it's a certain thing. But then you get more and more, it becomes opaque where death and your discomfort is. And those guys are so used to being uncomfortable and in the worst situations possible that they probably can't see it. So they're underwater in a pool and they're doing whatever they're doing.
And they drown.
And it's just too late. And they don't, you know, I think it's something like that probably, where they're so fucking tough, those guys, that... They erase all their warning flags, whatever our body puts up as like warning, like you need to stop this now or you're in danger. I think that it just goes away for those guys. That shit doesn't exist for them anymore.
There's levels with people, man.
Levels.
There's levels of competency. There's levels of excellence and there's levels of toughness.
Yep.
And then there's people that put themselves into situations. You go, you know what, man? This is like to the average person, you would go, this is just not a smart place to be. But to them, it's home. Like,
yeah.
That's where they're at.
That's where they live.
Yeah.
You're like, this is very uncomfortable for me. I don't like this. And they're just feet are kicked up on the couch. They're like, this is great.
My friend Cameron Haynes sent me a text last night.
Dude,
Cameron,
I follow that guy.
Hunter.
He's
got awesome.
Fucking what a life he leads.
Stud. Love that guy. He's in Colorado right now. Bow hunting. He bow hunts constantly.
What I love
so
about
he was,
that.
Hold on a second. Yeah. He was bow hunting 2 weeks ago with his friend Roy. Who got him into hunting. This guy from Oregon, who's his best friend, got him into hunting. This guy's a guide up in Alaska, and they got a moose. Really difficult hunt. They're in the middle of the fucking snowstorm, and it was 6 inches of snow. They're trudging through. They had to, you know, find these moose, and they finally got one, and it was like this big triumphant moment for him. He sent me a text yesterday that Roy died yesterday, fell off of a cliff while sheep hunting, 700-foot drop, and died. And this is a guy that he was just with. And this is one of his best friends, if not his best friend. And he died the day before yesterday. Fell 700 feet. And this is that's what we're talking about. That's like, they're always that close to that. I mean, especially when you're sheep hunting, these rocky, steep.
Ice.
Yeah.
And gravel.
Loose gravel and Cameron was supposed to be sheep hunting with him on that trip, but they had to call it off because the snow was too dangerous. It was so much snow that it snowed for 10 days straight. They couldn't get to these mountain areas. And if there's snow also and you're trying to climb up these mountains, you don't know what the fuck you're stepping on. You're stepping on some loose rock underneath that snow.
Or a crevasse that is like the snow that's tapped, that's coming, and then you go right through.
Right through, and then you're fucked.
Yep.
Yeah, and he fell 700 feet to his death.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's...
How did Cameron turn the corner to where he was able to monetize his life to live? To
it's only recently. He's been doing
so
it forever.
Fucking cool.
He's been doing it forever. He just hustles, man.
Because I know a ton of guys that are like that.
Job.
Oh, really?
He has a full-time job. He works for the Department of Water and Power in Oregon.
Wow, okay.
Works all day. 9 hours, and then he gets home. He fucking runs. He lifts.
Savage, man.
He's just tough as shit, man. Guy does ultra marathons.
Energetic as anything.
Well, he's just tough. Mental toughness.
Yeah.
That's like the main strength that guy has. Incredible mental toughness.
He's like a Diaz brother.
In a lot of ways with the endurance aspect of it, yeah.
That kind of thing, just gritty determination.
Mm-hmm. Just hard work, man.
It's
guy
cool.
Just works hard.
It's cool, too, because he's not in it's, you know, like if you're a fighter or you're a football player or you're in the army, or like it's directed in a way for you, but like that's a real soloist thing that he does. And there's a lot of guys that hunt, but there's not a lot of guys that are like that guy who's like, I'm going to go ahead and strap fucking bunch of plates on my back and run up the mountain this morning. Or
yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of guys that train to hunt. Like he trains to be an apex predator.
Well, when you hunt with him, you realize like he and I were hunting in Colorado a couple weeks ago and we went up this hill. And this fucking dude runs hills so often. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm following behind him. I'm fucking huffing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to keep up with him, but I'm breathing heavy. I got to the top with him. I'm like, he's not even breathing.
Right.
I mean, he's not even fucking breathing. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's like, he could have a conversation with you.
Right.
Whereas I'm like, man, that's fucking steep. Steep hill. Like, I'm like, this is the difference between a guy who runs hills and a guy who doesn't.
It's
different. He prepares for that specific environment.
So cool.
Constantly running hills, constantly lifting weights, all that. And, you know, people criticize him. You don't need to do that stuff. You don't need to do that stuff. Because they don't want to do it. And they don't like that someone is doing it.
Right.
But that fucking guy kills several bull elk every year, kills moose. Every time he goes out, he's killing something, and that's all he eats. He eats high-protein, organic meat constantly, and he's inspirational. That's what I love about him, man. That guy, I've run into so many people that are inspired by that guy, and he forces them by just watching him. It forces them to get off their ass and go do stuff and go lift weights, go work out.
I mean, a guy like that, you're going, if I do 15% of what he does, I'm winning.
And he works all day.
You know?
That guy works 40 hours a week.
I thought for sure that was his full-time shit.
Yeah, he makes way more from bow hunting than he does from his work.
Crazy.
But he keeps the job. He doesn't want to anymore.
Get a pension or something at the end of it.
All that shit. He's got kids and insurance and all that shit.
That is a ton. Kids, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wife, kids, whole deal. Yeah.
Good.
Speaking of which, I got to get the fuck out of here, Tate Fletcher.
Dude.
We got to do these more often, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Why don't we do this?
I don't know.
This was fun.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Tate motherfucking Fletcher on Instagram. That's T-A-I-T. I don't know who the fuck T-A-T is.
Yeah, not me.
Tell him to kick rocks.
Yeah.
Nuevo Cerveza, CavemanCoffeeCo.com. This shit right here, Caveman Nitro, this is the shit.
We got
this
our new packaging for our concentrate.
Delicious.
You know, all that goodness.
But this stuff right here, this is my all-time favorite. I go
you know
through
what we
this.
Do now?
You know who else fucking goes through it? That little cunt.
I'm going to bring him some. We got pallets on pallets inside LA right now.
Oh, Jamie just got all salivating.
Cool,
all right,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Much love. See you soon. Bye-bye. Big kiss.